Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hello again, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today as we discuss the importance of trusting in the Lord during the uncertain times that we're all facing. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence." We need to keep our eyes focused on God and not lose heart when things don't turn out the way we want or even the way we believe God wants, because God is still on the throne. So join in the conversation as we discuss how blessed are those who trust in the Lord. I would like to start us this week by reading John chapter 16, starting in verse 1. "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does God's service." And that's kind of where we are at today, Janie. You know, we're looking at the things that are going on in our nation and around the world. And I know that Christians are sitting back and going, "God, where are you? And why have you not rescued us out of this situation?" But, you know, just like we talked about last week with Adam and Eve, it goes all the way back to that time when God gave Adam authority over his creation. And when he and Eve sinned, they gave trespassing rights to Satan to be God of this world. And when Jesus came, he made a way of escape from sin and death, from the plans of Satan. And then he has given us authority to now be Christ's representatives as witnesses and warriors here on earth, to reveal his character, Christ's character, and to draw people to him. But we have failed to be the salt and light of the world, as Matthew 5:13-16 talks about. And so that all men could find that escape that Jesus provided by the cross.
That's very true. And if we were looking at the escape plan that he has provided, Sharon, things would remain relatively simple right now with the turbulence and the chaos that we're going through, because his game plan from the beginning was his overall game plan for all of eternity, and that includes the eternal. We right now are wanting to be salt and light according to our understanding, and we are still focusing primarily on the temporal right now. One of the things that I've noticed in the last few weeks is that no matter to whom you are speaking within the body of Christ, they do have their opinions, they do have their solutions, they do have their convictions, but I still hear very little about focusing on everything being the eternal. Colossians 3, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things above." And one of the strongest foundational verses that we have takes us back to Galatians 2:20. And what's the very first few words out of Galatians 2:20? "I am crucified with Christ." Mm-hmm. Oh my, Sharon, if I can be cynical for a moment. Oh my, there's the cross. Oh, let's avoid that at all cost. Okay, what good's the cross? Well, it got us out of hell and into heaven, so let's push it aside and move on with our great works. And I'm all for great works done under the power of the Spirit. I am not wanting to entertain great works under the traditions of men.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But we are still seeking the good works, and I'm not criticizing any of this. But if you have a recipe and you take all the ingredients, you can have eggs and sugar and vanilla, but if you forget the flour, you're going to have a bit of a problem coming up with something that's going to be edible. So what is our place of refuge in these uncertain days? May I sweetly and humbly say, it's at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
All right. Where our price for our sins and our eternal damnation was paid for. Why our ability to be able to walk in our own weakness was taken care of, not through the shedding of the blood, but through the crucifying of the very old entities that we still deal with until we get our new bodies. And why there is such opposition within our hearts about things always having something to do with the eternal. But basically, the Lord is letting some of these lacks come about because He's wanting us to recognize we're missing His mind. And we have an eternal God, and why we think that He's just going to deal with the temporal, which He does care about the temporal, but why that is as far as He's going to take us when He's getting us prepared for all of eternity.
Well, there usually has to be some sort of upset in our temporal to get us to look to the eternal. It's like being disciplined as a child to build the right kind of character. And God is loving, welcoming us into a relationship, but He also gives warnings as a just father disciplining His child. And we don't really want to talk about the disciplines and warnings that God has given us. We just want to focus on the blessing.
Absolutely. And we can see right now with current events going on that when something really negative transpires, how it rocks our boat.
Right.
And
right,
we
right.
don't really want to go in and meet it as a warrior. David didn't seem to have a whole lot of intrepidation when he saw the giant Goliath. He happened to grab 5 stones. One for Goliath and the other 4 for his other brothers in case they showed up.
Right.
And he went to war with where he was confident in his great shepherd, Father God. But we are reaping the results of a nation that has been blessed beyond measure. And yet, has that brought us into a godliness that the Lord delights in? Or has He had to bring now discipline upon the church to once again get our heart back into alignment with what He wants our heart to be, not what we want our heart to be?
What God wants for our heart isn't at all what we want for our heart, but what He wants is better. You know, what He wants for us is so much better than what we want for ourselves.
Well, that's because we're wanting something better for right here and now, for next week, next month, next year, in the foreseeable future. The Lord is looking 5,000 years down the line, 10,000 years down the line. We are going to live forever, and we just don't grasp that. We have a head knowledge of it, but our heart is still far from us.
I think we look at eternity as beginning after we die. So we don't really think about what comes next. It's really all about living life today.
There's a statement back in Judges 21:25, and it says, "And everyone did what was right in their own eyes." And when you don't have strong leadership within a nation, when you don't have strong leadership within your community, you don't have strong guiding leadership with even in the family structure,
mm-hmm.
then people have a tendency to do what is right in their own eyes.
Right.
So we have talked about on this show ever since we've been doing it that it's all about the heart.
Yes.
And Sharon, if we can just go to Mark 7, if you would, in the scriptures. And I'm going to start in with verse 5, and it said, "Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders?'" In verse 6, it says, "He answered and said to them, 'Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, "This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men.'" And then in verse 13, it says that we make the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do.
Mm-hmm.
So this scripture right here in Mark 7 pretty well capsulizes that we're doing everything that is right in our own eyes, which we would look back on Judges and realize that there was no strong government at that time,
mm-hmm.
and there was no strong leadership. And so people were coming up with their own version of what's truth and commandments on how to live. And when you don't have the source of truth as your foundation, what are you going to fall back onto? The law, the traditions, right, things that give you security. And Sharon will need to be aware that we don't repeat that cycle right here and now with the upsets that we have seen in our nation in the last recent weeks. So I don't know how to hold to the truth except to have one big word in neon lights and then funnel down from there. And that word is eternal.
Okay.
And that does not meet with a popular consensus.
In other words, we must keep our eyes focused on God in the midst of all that is happening. And, you know, you talked about David going to battle with five smooth stones. He was just a boy when he did that. But as we've talked about in the past, all that time he spent in the shepherd's field, just watching those sheep and worshiping God and being in his presence, that brought the confidence to go to war. And today, that same principle applies, that we need to spend time in our shepherd's field, gaining confidence in the Lord, in our relationship with Him, knowing His voice, knowing what He says to do.
And I want to just take that point and move it forward a little bit. The shepherd's field, Sharon, aloneness.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have the fellowship group over here that he was going to go have lunch with.
Right.
His fellowshipping was with a bunch of selfish sheep that kept going to polluted waters, that refused to lie down and be quiet in the pastures that God had provided. The sheep liked to be on the move, so waiting on God was something that didn't come natural to the sheep. But that is where David had to learn what it was to wait on God. And as he was waiting on God, he had to be intently alert because the wolves were there at hand. He couldn't really relax a lot because some sheep was out there getting cast and turned upside down and going to die if he didn't go take care of it.
So it wasn't about him closing his eyes in worship and
no.
It was just about having that relationship and God being a part of every aspect of that day.
And he had to learn warfare out there in that shepherd's field alone. He couldn't have rang somebody up and said, hey, how do you think we ought to handle this situation? Shall we get together and protest what's going on with the wolves?
Mm-hmm.
No, he was alone, depending upon no one but Jesus Christ. He was isolated. He was insulated because one day he was going to be king. One day he would rule in the eternal. But do you think that a young shepherd boy out there really recognized this is all about the eternal? It was. But what he did recognize is that he needed a relationship with the great shepherd, and that brought him into all the fruit and the aspects of the eternal. God gave him a welcome sign. God gave him many warning signs as he was out there alone. And then when we talk about welcome and warnings, Sharon, Psalms 91 has got two sides to it. It lets us know that there's going to be destruction that wastes in noondays, as well as pestilence that walks in the darkness. These are real enemies that require us to have to know how to wage warfare. In this Psalms 91, it also says that 1,000 will fall here and 10,000 will fall there, but it won't come near you. And so what I hear people saying is, we don't have to sweat it because we've got this measure that nothing's going to happen to us. 10,000 are going to fall, but it's around you, but it's not going to come close to you.
Oh, that's a little bit scary.
It's lopsided. In other words,
because that's just one scripture, because in the other scriptures, just like I read in the beginning in John chapter 16, Jesus is instructing them. He's telling them these things so that they won't be offended when they are cast out of the synagogues, when they are stoned, when they are riled, when they are rebuked, when they are beaten and killed. because of him, because of his name, because of who they believe in and stand on and trust in, there will be things that are going to happen to us.
Yes, that you and I are tracking. We're kind of coming at it in a little bit different path. But the point in Psalms 91 is, hey, there are going to be real destructions. That's the warning. And then the welcome is that there will be a protection for us, but that doesn't mean that we are totally excluded from the destruction that wasteth at noonday.
Right.
All right? Okay. So we have to hold the warnings and the welcomes in balance. And what our hearts want to do is we want to take everything that will welcome the comfort, that welcomes the promises, that welcomes the freedom from fears. There is comfort in that, but we don't know how the Lord wants to execute it. When we talk about welcome and warnings, let's flip over to someplace else in the New Testament. Let's go to John the Baptist. All right. Now, There's a man who had followed Jesus Christ. He had been the forerunner of who he is. And yet we see that John is sending some people to ask the Lord, are you the Messiah or should we look for someone else? Mm-hmm. And he's saying this because he's sitting in a prison.
Mm-hmm.
Now you would think if anybody who had been telling about the great wonders of the Messiah coming and the promises and the hopes, why would he wind up in a dungeon alone? And why would then he finally wind up losing his life in that prison? Because some woman wanted his head on a platter.
Right.
And the Lord allowed it.
Yes.
Now, did the Lord negate his love? Did the Lord negate his eternal plan for John because of the destruction that John was going through? You see, we have to just hold the scripture with seeing the actuality.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, we are in a life and death struggle. We have been since the garden. And it's going to keep getting worse and worse and worse, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, until the Lord decides to sound the trumpet and bring us out and start a new dispensation of what is on his eternal game plan. And this nation has never really known the other side of the equation. We've not known the head being put on a platter because somebody wanted us dead. We've never known somebody who just willfully wants to destroy Christians, but we've seen it going on worldwide for who knows how long.
Right.
And now it's coming to our shores,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
And until we are willing to go back and say, Lord, it is eternal, we don't know how you want to make it known with your welcomes and your warnings, but give us balance to see that we may go through hard times like the church at Smyrna. You spoke of it a few weeks ago where they had 10 different seasons of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that all the suffering was the same type of suffering. It could have been different types that they went through. It could have been famine. It could have been illnesses. It could have been destruction and dislocation of where they were living.
Right.
So we have to recognize that there are good times and there are bad times, but all times and all timing is in the Father's hands.
Yeah. And to not be offended by what is happening, because I think that there is some sort of disappointment, you know, disappointment of some hope. That brings an offense because things aren't going our way. And where is God in this situation? And why has he not rescued us? And so being offended is something that we're going to face and asking, why, God, why are you allowing this? But we have to understand that God is still in control. Even though Satan has temporal rights, even though it looks like and appears that Satan is winning, that the evil is overcoming the good, when in Scripture we're told that in the last days, good would be called evil and evil good. We're seeing that more and more and more, like every day. It is intensifying.
Yes.
That good is evil and evil is good. And it really, I mean, for some of us, it makes us want to grab our head and go, what? I mean, it just baffles your mind. How can that be that you would think that that is anything good? It is so evil. It is from the depths of hell. Why can you not see that? But Scripture tells us that, does it not?
It does. And I think it's worth going to that, Sharon, and just reading it so that people will not perhaps forget where it is very plainly played out. And that's in 2 Timothy 3. And it says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power." And then the warning, "And from such people, turn away."
Mm.
Now, is that not a description? I mean, unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, unthankful, unholy. That would probably qualify for the videos we see each evening on the news networks.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay? And we've expected our government to somehow handle that, but government has not provided us with a solid foundation national-wise. And perhaps if the family had been more in tuned with the Word of God and the church had been more in tuned, then the nation may not have crumbled the way we have seen it crumble in the last few years and even mm-hmm. just the latest events. And I want to say we are not a political show, but I want to say that this crosses all barriers of whether you are independent, Democrat, Republican. The corruption is seen on every front. And you know why it's seen on every front? Because it's a matter of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart is deceitfully wicked. And if the heart is not broken and contrite before the Lord, then it doesn't matter what your political affiliation is. It doesn't matter where your ministry might be. If the heart is not being broken before the Lord, trusting Him.
Yeah.
And Sharon, I like the new phrase that I'm starting to use, and that is, I have a trembling trust.
Oh.
All right?
Yeah.
I tremble with weakened knees knowing what we may be encountering in the days, weeks, months, possible years ahead. But it cannot break my trust.
Right.
Now, I can tell the Lord, my heart may tremble at the unknown, as I'm sure that the people who we have seen that have been beheaded in the last year or so on our television now may be coming to our American mm-hmm. shores.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we may be isolated and then insulated and separated from one another. And again, we can go back to remembering the shepherd's field.
Right.
The Lord allowed David, who was going to be ruler one day, to know loneliness, to know despair, to know really probably never having any downtime to where he could just totally relax, but he had to be constantly dependent upon his great shepherd to help him know what was going on with all of his sheep.
Well, we just have to understand that in the last days, just as you read, we will have to face some perilous times. And so the important thing is to have that trust, to build that trust, to have that broken heart so that God can mold us and shape us and move us into the position of being that warrior for Him and representative of who He is.
And then that as we see evil just triumphing every place, there's those little verses, Sharon, that just says, "But he defeated Satan at the cross."
Mm-hmm.
Colossians 2:14-15, Hebrews 2:14-15. People, please remember and go to those. What will it take for the body of Christ to wake up that we have everything that we need with the utter chaos that our nation is struggling in, and it is all found in the person of Jesus Christ? I don't know how else to say it except to then live it out the way Christ calls us to live it out. And that's where I then have trembling trust.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today, Janie. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.